I have been given an ultimatum.
Well, I was told I need to get back to singing again. And so here I be.
And I gave everybody a heart attack this morning, which is always my way of doing things. Because I showed up so late, everybody was starting to get worried. I wasn't worried. I knew what I was doing. And I have a good excuse. And I heard this song this week. And I'm telling you what, it stopped me where I was in the truck. Stopped me cold. It's such a beautiful song. It is a simple song. There's not a whole lot to it. But it's done by a guy named Larry Stevenson. And of course, it's done by God's music, which we all know what that is, right? Bluegrass! I'm telling y'all right now, you wait and see if I'm right. Everybody talks about the host of the heavenly choir that's going to be up there now. There's going to be guitars, fiddles, banjos, basses, and lots of bluegrass. And when we get there, you'll see me smiling going, "See, told you." Larry Stevenson did this song. It's called "You'll See Jesus." And this morning when I finished writing my sermon, it hit me, I need to learn this song real fast, put it together, and bring it here and sing it. Because then I've been humming it all week long. So I learned it real fast this morning. I don't know if I've got it right. I don't know what's going on with it. But you'll just have to suffer through it with me. But this song is really beautiful. Very simple, very short. It's called "You'll See Jesus." Look up in the morning sky, a million miles away, and you'll see Jesus. Look down in your children's eyes, watching them while they play, and you'll see Jesus. In the love you have for others, with your sisters and your brothers, you'll see Jesus. In the brown leaves of September, or the snows of late November, you'll see Jesus. You'll see Jesus in a rainbow, or a mother's loving care. If your eyes are really open, you'll see Jesus everywhere. In a church on Sunday morning, by your bedside in the evening, you'll see Jesus. In the web the spider's weaving, in giving and receiving, you'll see Jesus. When the trumpet sounds the warning, you have been believing, you'll see Jesus. You'll see Jesus in a rainbow, or a mother's loving care. If your eyes are really open, you'll see Jesus everywhere. That's a good one. That's pretty good, wasn't it? Man, that thing's been in my head all week. That's why I was late, Martha. Now, didn't I tell you I had a good excuse? I don't pay attention to a calendar very much. Ask Wendy. I didn't realize what last month was all about. And I certainly got caught off guard by that dinner. But it was beautiful. The prayer at the end, the way that everybody laid on there, the way that we were lifted up, Wendy, myself, and the family.
every minute of every day tells me I made the right decision the day I became conscious of God again in not running off trying to do what I wanted to and letting Him lead me here. I know it. Thank you. If you have an unspoken request as we come before the Lord, just a hand up and down as we pray. Thank you all. Let us join our hearts together. Heavenly Father, You are an awesome God. We look around at the beauty that we see, at what's going on within the world today, and we know that You still reign. If not for just simply within our lives. We're carried through, we're lifted up, we're made ready, we're made whole by Your love, by Your grace, by Your constant, unerring glory. All made through Jesus Christ. Thank You. Every heart in this room should be praising Your name quietly right now. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Without You, I would have nothing. I would be nothing. I would go nowhere. Strengthen us, Father. You've heard it go around the room today. We have sorrow. We have joy. We have concern. We have a wellspring of thank yous. Where do you start? For those that are fighting through sicknesses, undergoing chemotherapy, undergoing the frailties of this body, lift them up. Whether they be 5 years old or 85 years old, we all know what it means to hurt physically. We all know what it means to be in pain constantly. And yet, we know that it is all for a reason that You lead us and guide us through it. We come out stronger. We come out showing Your glory. So to all the concerns today laid for the physical infirmities, hear them, Father. We especially ask that You lift up our brother Bob. We don't know what lesson we're being taught, but I can tell you what we're pretty sure that lesson is. Keep on praying. We can look at him, keep on praying. We can be near him, keep on praying. This is the lesson You're teaching us. Thank You, Father. Over those who console and lift up and love and comfort, continue to give them that strength. And for joy. Something as simple as a birthday. But I pray, Father, that we never become so far ahead of ourselves that we look at our birthday and go, "Ah, it's just another day." No, it is not. It is the day we were brought into this world, conceived by You. Amen. Each one of us, perfect in Your sight as Your own particular creation. It's not just a birthday, it's a remembrance. Thank You. Pray, Father, for the leadership of this country. We've had an election. We've seen things change. Father, let this be a real change. Too many people are saying, "Well, let's go this way, let's go that way." No. We pray constantly, Father, that this nation would turn itself back to You. And listen to the voice of Jesus for that leading and for that guiding. We sit in this room today. We were able to vote this past week, Father, because of the men and women who have served and laid down their lives in the cause of this country, here at home or abroad. Let our prayers be for them, that they continue to be strengthened in that job, that they continue to be lifted up. And for those that have suffered that loss, let us pray for them. For those in the line of duty, at the firehouse, at the police station, at the hospital, let everything show Your glory. Let those hearts be filled with sudden miracles in front of them that they just not be so callous as to say, "Oh, well, it was just another thing. It was a good day." No! It was a miracle from You, Father. Let us lift that up in prayer and constant glory. And today, Father, as we pray the way your Son would have us pray, let us pray strong and loud. Not just another mumble through the words, not just another walk through a ritual. These words carry meaning. They are guiding us each and every day. I pray, as the song said, we'll see Jesus in everywhere we look. Praying as Jesus taught us, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You can see the scripture laid out there in your Bible. Daniel chapter 6, verses 13 through 23. But I think we're going to back up and start at verse 12. It's an old story, Daniel in the den of lions. And I was listening to a preacher today, and I've had this discussion. So what I'm going to ask you to do is not foreign to this church. It's not new to you. It's certainly not groundbreaking things, but it's something I want to try, and it's something that I want to live for. So as we put ourselves together in front of Daniel 6, if you are able to, I would ask that you would stand for the reading of his word. We stand to sing. We stand for the hymnals. We stand for the offering. If you are able to stand as we read his word together, let us join in Daniel and hear what he had to say. An old story, but a good one. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to start in the 12th verse and go out that way. So then they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be replaced. Then they said to him, Daniel, is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, remember, O king, that in according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues could be changed. So the king gave the order. They brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. Verse 19, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done any wrong before you, O king. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds. Set us in gear for today's message. Let these words be from you. Let them strengthen our itching ears. Let them prick our heart that we may go from here, shouting your name, glorifying you, and ministering to those who do not know, so that they may come here learning of you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. That won't be the last time. That was nice. There's a story of a young man who was late to get home. He had a curfew. And breaking curfew meant all the privileges would be gone. Everything would be gone. He would probably get grounded and get his car taken away, and who knows what else would possibly happen to him. But the young man was a frisky kind of a guy. And he was out one night, and he stayed out far and away too late. And when he realized the time, he said to himself, "You know, I can make it home. There's a shortcut I know that I've heard them talk about, an old back road over the mountaintop. All I got to do is take that old back road over top the mountain. That'll cut a whole bunch of time off. I'll slide in the driveway just in time, and I'll beat the curfew and everything will be fine. I've never taken that mountaintop road before, but I've heard them talk about it, and I know where it goes. It'll be fine." So he races off onto this mountaintop road. And as he's driving, he starts to drive into the top of the mountain. It gets a little foggy and the cover starts to settle in. You've all seen that before, where you can barely see the front end of your car as you're driving. You ever driven in that stuff kind of? Yeah, that's thick stuff. And all of a sudden the road turns and the car doesn't. Can't see the road. Into the ditch goes the car. Oh my goodness. Our man's resourceful. He gets in the trunk of his car and pulls out the jack and blocks of wood and whatever else he can find. Thinks, if I can just jack this thing up, I can get it back up on the road and I'll go even slower. I'll get it home. It doesn't work. The jack breaks away, takes a chunk out of the fender, busts his knuckles up. Car remains in the ditch. So the young man looks around. "I'll just walk until I find somebody." Of course, in the dark, I never saw any houses or any lights. I'm not really quite sure where I'm at. They didn't have cell phones at that point in time. He couldn't actually send up a smoke signal because nobody would have read it. He's left with one decision: to sit and wait in fear. He sleeps in the car. He asks for a little help. Comes the dawn. Sun comes up and cuts across the mountain and pierces out the old fog. The boy wakes up and looks out the car window. What's he find? He's 200 feet from a driveway. He jumps out of the car and runs for the driveway, hoping they've got a tractor or something there to pull him out. And as he's running up the driveway, he hears the man of the house start up from work, starts to back out of the driveway driving what? A tow truck. Pulls him out of the ditch and he goes home. And he tells his dad, "This is what happened." And the father says to him, "At least you're home. At least you're home." How many times have we sat in the dark afraid? Afraid. Scared. What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. Here's this young man alone in the woods. It was hard to tell what was coming out of the woods to get him. You know, up there on the top of the mountain, all kinds of critters running around. And he's a young man. He doesn't understand things. So he spends the night alone and scared. How many times have we spent the night alone and scared? Amen? Why? Because we let go. Because we thought we knew better. Because we didn't listen. Because we took a shortcut. And wound up in the dark. If we would only just let go, just simply let go, say, "God, just do whatever. I'm not going to argue with you anymore." But we don't. It's not our nature. It'll never be our nature. It's how we are. And so many times we plunge into the darkness until the light comes, or until the dawn comes, or in a more modern way of saying it, "Man, that just dawned on me. I ought to have that phrase pasted on my shirt." Well, that just dawned on me. That just dawned on me because I'm not a smart person. I know I try to be, but I'm not. And when I finally figure things out, here comes the dawn. But we plunge into darkness until we see the light come and we see the rescue and we see the opening and we see we had no reason to fear all along. And we stand there going, if I'd have only just held on. I just realized that it just came to me. And what's funny is, this sermon does something that I don't do. It dawned on me. As I was preparing this sermon, I sat there looking at it and thought, huh, here comes the dawn again. I'm preaching a theme. Past several sermons have been leading up to this one. And I didn't even realize it. I've always said, I ain't never going to preach no theme. I'm a preacher of my own merit. I don't need to lay out no theme and preach from it. Hey, dummy, guess what you've been doing? I've been preaching right down the pike toward a theme, toward an ending, toward something. So today, brothers and sisters, instead of me yelling at you all Sunday morning about how ornery we can be, today it's time for a little refreshment. It's time to remember that comes the dawn, we get to start all over again. It all seemed to fall into place. It all seemed to come right down the line. As I sat down to write the newsletter, finally, as I sat down to look at things, I started to see things coming to a point. We never really truly do face the end, do we? Just the next stop in the journey. As much as we think we have come to that point at the end, as much as we might plunge ourselves into darkness, we simply wait for the dawn. So now you get to hear about what's been on my mind. Going back to the scripture, let's talk about Daniel. Who doesn't know this story? Who doesn't know the story of Daniel in the lion's den? You know it, Jonathan, don't you? Yeah, look at him shake his head. It's a great story, isn't it? I mean, lions and a guy throwed in there and I'm getting carried away. It's a great story. And we know it from that angle. We know the story of Daniel. But if you've spent any time on it, there is so much more to this story to teach us how to live. To teach us. And so today, let's look at that lion's den a little bit differently. As darkness. Now we know what's going on. Let's go ahead and study the scripture a little bit and study the text. We've already seen what's going on. A bunch of smart alecky rich nobles don't like Daniel because he's a good boy. He's trying to do what's right. How many times through the Bible have we seen this same story? Would be a fellow by the name of Joseph, right? That's what happens when you behave. Everybody gets mad at you. That's why I always am just a little bit ornery at times. But we see Daniel. Daniel is loved by the king. We see Daniel and how much it is that he is wanted. If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, you see it says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. Daniel, the Judah, the exile, the man of God. They were made to do accountants of themselves, and they were made so that the king might not suffer loss. If you look at verse 3, it says, now Daniel distinguished himself among the administrators. He was a good boy. He did his job. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges to get him out of there. Hey man, you know, these guys are making us look bad. And so what do? They go to the king because kings are, at their very least, a little bit pompous and full of ego. And they look at him and say, hey, King Darius, how about you make a law and bind it that nobody prays to anybody but you? And the king says, well, I like that. It's oftentimes I think that we should change the directory there to, instead of preacher, we'll put what everybody in the house calls me, master and commander. Why does everybody laugh when I say that? Nobody calls me that. But the king was full of himself. And he was ready for that. Oh yeah, that's a good law. Everybody's going to pray to me. Got it. Mark it, stamp it in the law of the Medes and the Persians. When I make a rule, it will not be revoked. The trap has been set. Let's stop right there and think about the world. How many times have you heard the story of a good Christian who fell? Shake your heads. It happens a lot. A good Christian who fell. Good. Because this world, brothers and sisters, sets a trap for us. They don't like to see this thing. You remember the song we just sang? Peculiar people. Which one was that? You are a chosen generation. We are a peculiar people because we believe in something that is not physically here. We believe in something that you don't see with your own two eyes yet. And people look at that like, what in the world? Well, they can't do that. They set the trap. They lay it out for us to plunge us into darkness. And some people fall. A lot of people fall. Sorry. I hope it never happens to me. I pray that it don't. And there's a lot of traps out there for somebody like me, for somebody like you. So they set it up. What do they wait on? They wait for Daniel to do his regular routine. They waited and waited. Daniel knows the rules. If he gets caught praying, he's going to be thrown into the lion's den. The lion's den. And so what's he do in verse 10? Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the window was open toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Every time I hear this song, every time I hear this verse, every time I read this story, the song immediately, and I can't help it, it just pops immediately into my head. The preacher and the bear. Ugh. Nobody here knows that song. I see 2 hands coming up. Do you? The chorus is so cool. It says, "Oh Lord, you deliver Daniel from the lion's den. Oh Lord, brother Jonah from the belly of the whale. And then them 3 Hebrew children from the fire it burns to the good book to declare. Now, Lord, oh Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sakes, won't you help that bear?" Every time. I guess I'm going to have to sing that song one Sunday, ain't I? I thought I did sing it before. It's about a preacher that goes hunting on a Sunday morning and the bear comes after him. And he starts praying. He's in darkness looking for the dawn. That's a great song. I'll sing that for you. You'll love that. Every time I hear it, every time I read these words, now I stop and think about it for a minute. I want you to. Lions, they're ferocious. They're not just big tame kitty cats. A couple of years ago, when the boys were still riding in a scooter or baby stroller or whatever it is they're called, we went to the beach. And we went to the zoo. And there was a walk you could walk along and you could look at the animals. And I was pushing the baby carriage and Wendy was walking along. And we come to the lion's den and there was a big old lion laying about from here to that projector off the side of the fence. Laying there looking at us. And people were poking through the fence at him. Look at the lion. I was doing it too. And I was standing there thinking, that is about the most boring critter I've ever seen in my life. He's just laying there. The whole time, you know what he's thinking. If I could get across this fence, oh my goodness. And so finally the old lion had had enough of it and he leaned back and roared. Have you ever heard a lion roar in real life? Not on the television. Been right there to hear that roar. I stepped over behind Wendy. You ain't getting me. I never heard anything like that in my whole life. And there's Daniel. He's in the lion's den. There's a great book out there written by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins from the Left Behind series. And it is a book called Daniel. And they take his life and the Bible and they make a historical fiction out of it. They use the Bible and they tell the story of Daniel and they describe it in this way. Think with me. Feel with me. If you need to close your eyes, listen to the lion's den. And so he sits there in the dark. Mind you, it's dark. They've rolled the stone across and sealed it and guarded the stone so that he can't get out of it. He sits there in the dark in the den. And they figure there was somewhere on the order of about 15, 20 lions in there. And you can smell them. You can smell the den where they live. As he moved around in the dark, I'm sure he stepped on bones from previous victims. He finally finds a place to sit down. He can feel them. He can't see them. He can feel the hot breath go past him. He can feel them walk up and sniff him. As he sits there in the dark, they brush against him and they bump against him. As they walk around, low growls can be heard. Maybe even one of them came over and sat down right next to him, leaned up against him, this ferocious, man-eating, underfed lion. Underfed so that they would kill at the drop of a hat. And Daniel sat there and went to sleep. In the lion's den, in the darkness. Oh, brothers and sisters, would that we could have that kind of faith and that kind of strength when we're plunged into the darkness. And I sat there asking God to protect him. And Don already made it up in his mind. Whatever happens, I win. If I walk out of this lion's den, I glorify God. Look what happened. If I get eaten by the lions, I go home. I win. That should be us, brothers and sisters. Whatever happens to me in the dark, I win. If I survive to the morning, I glorify God. Comes the dawn. When the dawn comes, if I didn't make it, I'm going home. Amen? In the darkness. Whatever happens, I will glorify God. Whatever comes out of it, I will be with Him. And the story teaches so much more of this greatness than just lions, but it teaches us about light coming into darkness. Flip over again into Daniel. The man is upset. We know what happens. Those guys went to him and they said, "Hey, King, you just made this law and you can't get out of it. And this law says if anybody doesn't listen, they're going to die by the death of the lions." And old Daniel's up there praying. We done climbed up a ladder and saw him right in the window. He didn't even try to hide it from us. We saw it. What are you going to do? He's in there. The king is worried. Verse 17, a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den and sealed by the signet ring and by the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation would not be changed. And it says that the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any kind of entertainment. He could not sleep at first light of dawn. Verse 19, underline it. At first light of dawn. Comes the dawn, the king hurried and got up and ran to the lion's den. The king loved Daniel that much. With an anguished voice, you know the pain. What was he expecting to find? Daniel gone. Maybe some tatters of clothes. Are you there? Are you there, Daniel? Daniel, are you there? Servant of the living God. Notice it's written that way. Daniel, servant of the living God. Has your God, have you served continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? And Daniel says, yes. Yes, he did. And I did nothing to deserve this. My God protected me. Brothers and sisters, coming out of the darkness into the light, that's what we should learn. Our God protects us. Our Jesus who died put that in place to protect us. Now we look at this and you find yourself saying, So, what's it all mean? Paul, tell me. It means that a day is coming. It means, and I should have marked my Bible, I am not that smart. You know that? It means that the day is coming when dawn will arrive. When dawn comes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, verse 8, wrote these words, "For you were once darkness." Stop right there. He doesn't say, "For you were in it," or "You were near it," or "The lights blew out." "For you," me, "were once darkness." That's what he calls us, darkness. But now you are in the light, in the Lord. Comes the dawn. Live as children of the light. What's it mean? I sang it this morning when that trumpet sounds. Favorite hymn, absolute. I can tell you, every time somebody asks me, I can roll it off like that. And I used to know the number in the old hymn. I don't know what it is in this one. "When the roll is called up yonder, Used to be number 500 in the old brother hymnal. When the roll is called up yonder, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saints of earth are gathered over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Amen. That's what it means. Comes the dawn. We're out of here. I love that thought, and this is what my theme has been leading me to. I can't stop thinking about it. Maybe it's the condition we're in. Maybe it's the world we live in. I don't know. But I know that as sure as the sunrise I saw this morning, we're going home. We're coming out of the darkness into the light. Brothers and sisters, if you live today in the darkness, you don't need to. We're going into the darkness all the time. It's the way of the world. It's the nature. Can't help it. Sorry. It's not going to be easy. Look around you. Listen to what was said. It's not easy being a Christian. But it is easy thinking about the dawn. This morning, I sat watching, making my notes. And I could see right out my picture window, I could see the ridge of the mountain line. And I watched the sun broke that mountain. Absolutely stunning. And all I could think about was, as beautiful as that is, it will be nothing compared to that day when we go home. To that day when we're finally called out of this darkness. To that day when we get to go home to see Him. Luke chapter 21. Open your Bibles back up. I won't make you stand, I promise. I want you to understand how serious I am about it. Luke chapter 21, let's start in the 25th verse. As we live in darkness, brothers and sisters, Jesus tells us what's coming. Verse 25, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Stop there. Darkness. Read on. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon those who live in the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. The darkness, everything going on. I'm not standing up here saying, oh, all the signs are there. No, they're not. You want to get a real good feeling about whether or not Jesus is coming? Let me tell you something that the Bible says. Every ear shall hear. There are people that have not. Around the corner or in the mountains of some country somewhere. Although I did hear something interesting about a week ago. I heard that Pastor David Jeremiah say that with the advent of the cell phone, that number is starting to fall. They can take cell phones now into the jungle and broadcast the word of Jesus. But for right now, I'm not standing up here telling you. I'm telling you to be watchful, be ready. When you're in the darkness, know that comes the dawn. When you're in the darkness, try not to be afraid. Pray, cling to Him. Let Him lead you. Let Him shut the mouth of the lions. Let Him take it away. Comes the dawn. When the roll is called up yonder, we will see Him soon. We will be with Him soon. Brothers and sisters, I tell you that Though we all often walk in darkness, one day comes the dawn, we will be in the light. And we will see Him yet again. That's it. Sermon for the day. No matter what the darkness, the dawn comes. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, strengthen us. Take us away from here, glowing and growing. Don't let us be stuck in the dark. Remind us to pray and live and lift up to You. As the world sets its trap, as whatever it is that tries to stop us comes along, Father, take us out. Let us be ever mindful, let us be ever remembering that in front of us is the dawn. We can't maybe sometimes see it, but we know You're there. We can't sometimes see the light for the darkness around us, but we know You're there, like Daniel in the lion's den. Just waiting for Your voice so that we may glorify You yet all over again, Father. Take us from here today ready for that. Keep us ever watchful, ever mindful, ever ready, ever present in Your Holy Spirit. Through Jesus' precious name, all of God's children said, Amen. How to get rid of the darkness starts right there. If you're lost in it, if you can't move forward through it, as we sing the last hymn, let us pray. Let me pray with you. Let me lift you up. Let me do whatever I can do. But don't leave here with that weight on your heart. Turn in your hymnals to... What is it? 591. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Please rise and join with me and Charlie and everybody in singing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have Thine Own Way.
Jesus' precious name.
Do last verse? You're there, you're there. What is it? Hit it.
Let the slaver for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all the life is over and the work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Father in heaven above, hear us as we pray. Understand us as we go through this and lead us into you. Take us from the darkness to light, Father. Bring us forward, Father, that we may evermore shine as we wait for that dawn to get here. I pray for each and every one of us as we go from here tonight. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.